Welcome, friends, to Inks and Issues, a book club podcast for comics. I'm your host, Bakery Boy Jonah Gregory.
And I'm Kieran Bennett, and you're so skinny. Why don't you eat something?
No one's ever said that to me before, Kieran. And that is not a joke.
Or to me, no, to be honest.
Not a problem I've had. So today, before we get too sidetracked, today we are reviewing part one of a little comic called Bloom, which is an independent joint published by First Second.
Those guys do good stuff.
They do a lot of really cool and unique stuff. And actually, this one I heard of because I follow the writer, Kevin Panetta.
Yes.
On Twitter, because we reviewed Zodiac Star Force, and I started following him back then because he is also the writer for that. So I'm very glad that I found that he was doing other stuff as well.
Yes.
So,
and I heard about this because I was sitting in your armchair at your house last year and was like, oh ho ho, comics? And I just read it in like an hour.
Yeah, it's a quick read. But we're going to talk about it for much longer than an hour, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yes. It's a quick and easy read, but there's a lot to talk about, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
Written by Kevin Panetta, art by, and I do apologize, Savannah
Ganachow? I don't know.
There we go. That's what I said. I think you'll find that's what I said.
Yeah, it's probably somewhere in the ballpark, right?
Yeah. But yeah, but as we said, Kevin Panetta also did Zodiac Star Force, which is super good from what I remember.
Yeah, it is very good. They did the one story arc that we reviewed and then later released a second story arc, which was also good. So,
yes,
consistently a writer I've enjoyed, which is what drew me to buying this book in the first place.
And a strong Twitter game as well, which I think is a really good, which, yeah, it's very important.
Yes, exactly.
Him and, who's the other comics writer that, Kurt Busiek, who did, Autumn Lands and Conan and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a fucking good Twitter account. You should follow him.
I probably do. If I don't, I need to remedy that. I get confused because I also run the Inks and Issues one a lot, and so I'll read stuff on there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's like, if I'm not following a comic book person on one, I'm sure I'm following them on the other.
Yeah.
Because I try and I follow more for sure on the Inks and Issues account, just because, you know, it's very comic centric.
It's on brand, one might say.
I've never heard. No, just kidding. Call back to our dumb jokes from earlier. Ha 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 jokes. So, do we have any fun facts beyond writer and artist for this before we go jump in?
No, not really. If I discover anything in between the two episodes, I will mention it. But otherwise, I haven't discovered.
Yeah,
anything.
I think it's a case of two talented people getting together and pitching a comic and then it getting approved. So I think, and then they made a comic.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything too crazy that went on.
I don't think Kevin Panetta sat down and was like, fuck, I'm going to make a gay comic about baking so that I can sue a guy.
No. No 1602 action.
Though, Kevin Panetta, if you were listening and you did do that, reach out, because that would be a hell of a story.
That sounds pretty intense, actually. All right, so we're going to break this up into a few different parts, because there are a few natural breakpoints throughout this book, but it is a single volume release instead of, you know, floppies followed by a trade.
There are no issues. There aren't even, like, chapters in the book.
Right, there's just breakpoints, kind of, with where it's like, oh, this is this day, and then this is this other day. So we'll dive right in then, I guess. So it's part one. So it opens up where we meet a young Greek boy named Ari. He's listening to music at his sister's wedding. But he's doing the normal little brother thing at a wedding, moping around in the corner until his dad forces him to go dance.
That's me. That's me at the wedding, even my own wedding.
Oh wow, when did you get married? You didn't tell me.
Surprise.
If you did get married without telling me, I mean, that's your prerogative, but I would be a little hurt, I'm just saying.
I haven't told anyone other than the people who listen to the show, so you know.
Okay,
you hit a hurt okay. Here first.
So after cutting several shapes, his sister, what shapes?
Yeah, you know, you cut shapes.
Is that a thing? What does that mean? Like cut a rug? Is it the same thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. These notes written by Kieran.
Yeah. So yeah, these words notes written
so
by
if
me.
There's slang I don't understand, it's either because it's New Zealand specific or more likely because I'm old. So after cutting several shapes, his sister pulls him aside and asks him if he's really sure about moving away, considering his parents really need him. He is pretty sure.
He is pretty sure.
Yeah, at this point in the story. After this wedding, or after the wedding, Ari and his friends, who are also his bandmates, walk along the boardwalk and gush about how excited they are to find a place together. And Ari is excited about just how much their band's going to blow up when they move away. Because if there's one thing I've learned in life, that all bands are instantly massively successful.
Uh-huh. Yep. All you got to do is you just move to a big city and then someone will like hear you and it'll just be gravy from there on.
Right. But I do have to say, as a person who's, you know, used to work in mortgages and would see other random people's stuff come through, I did see a few people that were musicians. And, you know, even if you're not like the biggest band in the world, some of them made a decent living just, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not, 100%. I don't want to be that guy who's like, get a real job, you hippie, because like, you know, I know a lot of musician people who are very good at it. And, you know, I don't want to throw a wet blanket on that right away.
No, 100%.
So,
but I'll be your dad and tell you to get a real job, you fucking hippie. Dang it,
Kieran.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be supportive over here.
No.
All right. All right.
Stay in your hometown forever.
So the next day, Ari's showing his dad their band performing on his phone. And his dad's like, hey, why are you showing me this?
It's like his face is so like, I totally get like his frustration.
Uh-huh.
You're trying to show someone something and you're like, isn't this cool? It's like that thing where you show someone like a YouTube video and you're like, oh my God, it's so funny. And then you're just watching their face being like, why are you not laughing? What's happening? Please laugh. Oh my God.
Yeah. But it's even worse when it's like a creative thing that you spend all this time on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, 100%.
I've definitely been there. I think everyone that does anything creative has been there. Instead, he says that Ari needs to stay and help with the bakery. And he tells him to be realistic. So he's being the Kieran dad in this situation.
He is.
Not the Jonah dad who tells you to follow your dreams. Ari fires back that he could find someone to replace him. But his dad refuses to have the conversation. So, because he's a rowdy teen, Ari storms off in a huff to work in the bakery, not really engaging in what he's doing. Ari's dad makes him go out on a delivery, and while he does, he spies a handsome Samoan boy, and they share a look.
It's a very charged look, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, for sure. That is definitely a thing that works incredibly well in this, is a lot is conveyed in the artwork, even though it is... it's not black and white. It's like blues.
Yeah. Is it like, is it jewel tone? Is that what you'd call it? I don't know.
I have to ask the person who knows anything about coloring. Cause it's not me.
Yeah.
I didn't take color theory.
No, either. It's blue. It's just like different shades of blue, but it's very expressive and very beautiful.
Yeah. The artist, Savannah, sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your last name properly, does an amazing job with all of like the character faces and stuff. Like a lot of emotion is conveyed, so you're never like, what's going on, when they do, you know, scenes with little dialogue like that.
yeah. And Ari also looks like he's blushing all the time, which like can relate.
So this handsome boy, yeah, well, we get to meet this handsome boy, Hector, and we learn that he has recently moved to town and is living in his Nana's house. And he has a couple friends that are about to come visit, Meg and Andrew. And so we first learn now that Hector is obsessed with baking, because he's like, I got some time to kill and I'm stressed out, so I'm going to go bake some coconut bread while I unpack. And yeah, we see he's basically a natural, like that's what he's going to school for and stuff, we find out. So
yeah, there's like a nice little like sort of two page montage, I guess you would call it, which they kind of do a few times when they're baking, where it's like, everything's like kind of covered in like Pacific Island like flowers, and you have like everything really sort of flowing of him like mixing everything and kneading the dough and stuff. It's very nice. I really like it.
Yeah, it's very, very artful, and it conveys like this feeling of joyousness and like relaxation that goes into the baking for this character, especially.
Yeah, 100%. Like it really kind of like captures like the kind of stress release of like baking and how kind of therapeutic it is.
Mm-hmm. So meanwhile, Ari is asking Jake to make him a flyer and advertise for the bakery position that he's put up, that he basically kind of half got his dad's okay on, but he immediately rolls with it. And they do actually get a lot of applicants, but they're all just kind of, you know, joke applicants to make it, you know, to show us like, hey, there really isn't a lot of people that live in this tiny town that know how to do this properly. A lot of them are like, oh, I just want to kill time and bum around, or, you know, just random weirdos show up, which, you know,
I can control sound with my mind. God told me about the position.
Yeah, that's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
And I am curious, because I know Kevin Panetta posts about working in a comic shop, if any of these are inspired by strange people that he's interacted with.
that's probably very likely.
But they can't find anyone suitable for this job. So Ari's dad is, you know, having a good laugh about it, because he's like, you know, look at all these crazy people that showed up to our house/bakery wanting a job. But he's upset. Ari's upset, and understandably, because he's like, he doesn't understand why his dad is like, just doesn't get why he's upset about all this stuff. Like, he's an angsty teen and parents don't understand. And his dad's like, why would you not want to live here and bake for the rest of your life, child who has no interest in baking?
And it's very interesting that he's like, he's not upset that his dad's laughing at him. He's upset that his dad doesn't understand why he's upset, which, like, mood, am I right?
Yeah. It's got some good, you know, teen drama. It's like, you know, later teens when you're ready to, like, move on with life. And it does a good job of, at first, you're just like, you know, what's up with his dad? And then as you, you know, go through the story, you get a better feel of like his family and their history and why his dad is obsessed with this place and stuff, and why he doesn't understand why Ari wouldn't want to just be at the bakery with him all the time. Cause he's like, when I was a kid, I hung out with my dad while he baked. It was great.
Why don't you want to do the same?
Why are you not the same person?
Thing as I did.
Yeah. But he, Ari does go away for the weekend with his friends because there's some band they want to see. And they're like, we should scout apartments. And they keep talking about moving to the city and getting an apartment together so that they can, so that their band can immediately blow up and they're all rich and famous. And on the way, Cameron, who is one of his friends, slash, I guess the lead dude in their band,
I think he's the lead singer and slash guitarist.
Right.
The band is very like ancillary to like the rest of the kind of, you know, main meat of the story.
Yeah, there was definitely, I saw some parallels for sure to like Scott Pilgrim, like
the
teens and the band. But that's a very common thing at that age too. I mean, I was in a few bands in my time as well. And we moved to the city and got mega huge immediately.
But then you were like, ugh, being fabulously wealthy and famous is such a drag.
Yeah, it's not all it's cracked up to be. No, but we did play 2 gigs in one of the bands I was in, and both were paid. So
what? So you're a professional musician.
So I was a professional musician for, I don't know, a month.
Yeah. Hey, that's impressive. That's more than a lot of people can say. So, you know, put that on your resume.
I'm updating it right now. I'm applying to several bands, even though I haven't touched a guitar in like 10 years.
Who cares? It's all about the soul and the heart.
Exactly. You know? It's just about looking cool, which, you know me, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, Cameron. Well,
like, Jonah's obsessed with looks, is what they say.
If there's one thing people know about me, it's I'm constantly dressed to the nines, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, Cameron
anyway
is one of those friends where you're like, I think everyone's had that friend that you grew up with where you're like, in hindsight, why did I hang out with this person?
100%.
Because Cameron is never not being a dick to like everybody, but especially Ari. He like picks on him constantly.
Oh, Cameron is foul. I don't like him at all.
No, I just, he like, even the other people in their group of friends are like, why do you follow Cameron around like a lost puppy? He's just mean to you constantly. And he's like, no, it's just jokes. It's great.
Yeah.
So he always is brushing it off. And yeah. And he's, you know, it's this season to the point where he like is like, hey, I made a road trip CD. And they're like, oh, these songs are all, well, not they, just Cameron. It's like,
just,
oh, these,
yeah, just Cameron.
These bands are all lame. What is this, 2002? And I'm like, I like some of those bands, Cameron, shut up.
Yeah, I was like, why are you being such a dick?
Yeah, he's just relentless. It's he's,
I don't see awful. You making a mixtape, Cameron.
Exactly. So they visit the city and whatnot, and on the way back, though, Ari can't help but feel dissatisfied with the trip because he was expecting it to be a much more positive experience than it ended up being for him.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things where, like, you know, and we can probably talk about our thoughts for like part one, I guess.
Yeah, but
like,
go ahead.
It's kind of one of those things where it's like you expect like, you know, great transformation or revelation from some kind of experience, but instead you're just basically the exact same as you were before, which I didn't find too heavily relatable, but just enough to be like, this is close to home.
Yeah. I mean, it's very well done in that whole, like,
yeah,
reality not meshing up with your fantasy for, I don't know, just anything you go do. And then
100%. Yeah.
Just like, this is his dream. So it's especially heartbreaking to him. I think that, I don't know, they didn't really do what they were going to set out to do. And they go see a band, and I don't know, it just like doesn't really pan out the way it was expected to. So it's relatable, but yeah. Thoughts on part one?
Oh, it's fantastic. I think kind of like by this point, I was like, I think by this point, like, I was interested, but I wasn't necessarily hooked in the same way that I am, or the same way that I was when like I got to the end, when I was like, I want more, I want this to not end, kind of thing. The band stuff isn't really something that kind of like draws me in, no matter what I'm reading, just because I was never in a band, and it wasn't.
What?
No, I was never in a band. I played one practice with some friends where I was lead singer, and then my friend played bass, and another friend of ours played guitar, and a friend of a friend played drums, and that was all we did. We did one practice. We had one jam, I guess you would say. But no, I was never in a band. So like, when there's stuff where it's like the teens are in a band and they're gonna move away and blow up, I'm like, ah, sure, whatever, I guess, if you wanna. but I find Ari's kind of like, I need to get out of here. I need to like do something so that I can do my own thing. And you know, heck, you dad, I'm gonna leave the bakery. Like that's kind of what kept me like into it, and really like, oh, like he's such a sweet muffin child, like I want to cradle his head and tell him it's gonna be okay, and also like beat Cameron up and shove him under a van.
I was gonna say throw him in a dumpster.
Oh yeah, sure.
But I don't want to murder him. I just
I didn't say I was gonna murder him. I just said I was gonna beat him up. But
you said throw him under a bus.
Under a van, he would be fine.
Just a van, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. What did you think of this first? Like,
I liked it a lot. On the first read, I think I was more thinking like, oh, this Ari guy, I don't know, because he's like very easily upset about things that don't really matter, but also, he's what, supposed to be 18? So he's young, is what I'm saying. Younger, a lot younger than me, an adult with multiple children. So having these unrealistic goals as far as like expectations wise, like having the goal to become a professional musician is fine, but like you have to temper your expectations. That's my point. And I think I was a little less on board because he's such a kid, but that's the point. Like, but on the second read, like knowing where the story was going, I was much more into it, but I actually sympathize with the dad, obviously, because I am one, and I'm just like, oh, these kids always with the crazy ideas. Like, I totally get the dad's perspective. It's a very like, it's a very honest, like, parent thing where you like something that you don't think is that important to you could end up, you know, it's like you got to be careful with that stuff, because to your child it could be the most important thing in the world. So his dad being dismissive, I'm like, yeah, that's a thing I try really hard not to be
to not do.
Very relatable on both. I think I've been both characters in this situation at this point. So yeah, I was fully on board right away. This is one that just blasted through both times I read it in like one sitting. So
yeah.
So do you want to take us into part two?
I will. So Ari is woken up by a knock on the door, and after grumbling like a teen, he goes and answers. It's Hector. Hear about the job. Oh, hello. Ari decides that he isn't a total nutcase and just tells him to come back tomorrow. Later that day, Hector, Meg, and Andrew all hang out at Hector's. Hector, of course, has made them a cake, and they all have a great time. Hector says that he's glad to be in this place since he has to figure some stuff out for himself and be by himself for a while. Meg goes to bed, leaving Andrew and Hector to watch Gilmore Girls. Just to clarify, they are both gay. All seems fine, but then Andrew tries to make a move, and Hector ain't having none of that. He shuts him down, saying that he broke up with him for a reason, and they watch Gilmore Girls in silence afterwards. I'm going to be honest, if I was sitting on the couch with someone, like with my ex, and they were like, hey, I'm going to make a move on you while we're watching Netflix, I don't know if I would be like, hey, can you not? And then just continue to watch TV with them?
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that.
I was.
Where it's like, that doesn't end the evening.
there for me, there is no scenario wherein, like, someone tries to make a move on me that I very much do not want them to. And I'm just like, yeah, we can just, like, because they're not, like, sitting on the couch next to each other. Andrew's, like, cuddled into Hector. Mm-hmm. Like on him, and there's no scenario where I'm like, oh, no, but this is fine. You can continue to like be physically close to me.
After now, they are both still single, is my understanding, correct? So like they've broken up.
Yes.
So that is a big factor right there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, it does seem highly inappropriate.
I'm just saying.
On Andrew's part. And it's like I was uncomfortable with his actions in this scene.
100%. 100%.
But agreed. I'd be like, I think I need to go to bed now. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, ooh, look at the sleepy time.
8 o'clock. Woo. You know me. Early bird. Wow.
These Gilmore Girls adventures, they're really just tuckering me out. Whew. Too much excitement before bedtime. So the next day, Hector heads over to work at the bakery for his first day. After a brief introduction to the space, Hector is ready to get to work making baguettes. Hector is focused, thorough, and kind of hot. Ari is really into it. There's like a lot of like sort of close-ups of like his arms when he's like doing the dough, or like of his face when he's like being really like kind of like concentrating on what he's doing.
Hector's and then a beefy boy. We'll just
Hector. Mwah. Hector is I'm like, I don't blame you. I'd be into this as well. Like, hot boy who bakes, please. I like that. I have that. So after the rolls are completed to the satisfaction of Ari's dad's recipe, they leave them to rise. Just as they're sort of sitting down, Ari's friends come by, and Cameron, of course,
Cameron.
He calls Hector, just like out of earshot at the front of the bakery, a big dumb Boy Scout, but Hector still hears him. Needless to say, Hector is very hurt, and when Ari comes back, he's a little bit cold towards him, which honestly, I do not fucking blame him.
Yeah, that was like, where does Cameron get off, for one?
I know.
Like, this person, he's never even met this guy. He just was like, oh, this big guy, so therefore dumb Boy Scout, apparently.
I know. Well, I think the kind of like the implication was that Ari had like talked to them about Hector, and Cameron was like, oh, the big dumb Boy Scout. But nevertheless, A, you don't know this person. B, you don't know where he is. You're the one who's come into the bakery. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What a trash child.
Yeah. I don't like Cameron.
I don't like Cameron. Yeah, just do it.
Cameron's canceled.
Cameron is canceled. I'm making a big call here, right now, and saying that Cameron is not a good person.
Shocker.
Yeah, I know sometimes we like to wait till the end to make calls like that, but I'm making it now.
That's fair.
Right. So later, the band goes to an arcade, and Hannah, Jake, and Ari are concerned that Cameron and Lauren are getting together. Why the fuck you would get together with Cameron? I don't know.
Yeah, I was actually wondering that too. I'm like, so what's Lauren's deal? Like, could we learn a little more about her? Like, what's wrong in her life that she sees Cameron and goes, need to get with that,
please? Lauren, what do you want in a man? Oh, I just want someone who's an unmitigated douche to everyone he meets. Well, boy, howdy, are you in luck.
Yeah, I think it's that problem of people like you said, never leaving their hometown that can be a factor there.
Yeah. Spoilers, later Cameron and Lauren like say that they're going to move away like together because they're a couple. And I am willing to put money on the table that in like 4 months after they move to the city, Lauren's like, oh my God, I realize what I've done. And she breaks up Cameron because she realizes what a piece of shit he is. I hope
when
so.
Once she's met like other people, more than like 10 people.
Yeah, exactly. Once she's met like another human being. Anyway, when they all get together, Ari tries to talk to the group about how they were kind of rude to Hector the other day. But the group, mostly Cameron, sadly brushes him off, which I felt real bad about.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
it made me very suspect of his entire friend group at that point.
100%. Yeah.
Where I'm like, you need new friends, like, from the ground up. Now, later we see there's a couple in there that are fine, but there's just a lot of not holding friends accountable for being complete douches in there.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
And even some of his friends are like, why do you let Cameron treat you like that? And because it's very directed at Ari. And I mentioned that before, but it just keeps going. Like,
yeah, it's pretty relentless.
He's like a sad puppy. Like
he is. So the next day, Ari wakes up to find Hector already at the bakery, ready as fuck to make muffins. An incredibly cute montage follows of Ari and Hector making muffins. It's very cute. And I like it a lot. It's very adorable. And Ari looks like he's essentially blushing like the entire time. And Hector looks very hot, I'm going to be honest here. And it's covered in flowers and little berries and stuff. And it's the wholesome content that I want ground up and put straight into my arm.
That's fair. Also, it is funny how he's like showing him, he's like grew up in a bakery and he's like, hey, we're going to make streusel for these muffins. And he doesn't know what streusel is. And I wouldn't know what streusel is either, except, you know, Brittany told me.
You don't work in a bakery either.
But I don't work in a bakery. My parents aren't bakers. I didn't grow up in one. So I think I get a pass more than Ari does. I think it's just showing how little Ari cares about the bakery.
100%. Yeah.
Because he doesn't know what a very common like thing that goes on top of muffins is. Like, it's the thing that makes them delicious.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And in the previous part when he's making like rolls, he's like got his headphones in and he's not really like paying attention to what he's doing. So he's very disengaged from this like part of his family at this point. And I think this is just like another kind of like, you know, I'm trying to think of what the phrase is. Another thing in the thing. You know what I mean?
Another bird in the hand.
Yep. There you go. It's just another bird in the hand. That's why he can't bake. His hands are full of birds. Anyway, so later that night, as Ari's laying in bed, he's like trying to text all his friends and being like, hey, Wutu, you up? Blah, blah, blah. And no one's replying. And so he starts texting Hector. And again, it's very...
Yeah, he's you-upping all his friends and none of them are up. Or they're ignoring him, which I feel is more likely and also made me very sad. Like, I'm like, they're a bunch of teens. There's no way they're not up late at night. I was just like, come on. Are all his friends being douches? Come on.
Oh, they probably are. I don't like them.
Yeah, that's fair.
What did you think about two?
Two, I really enjoyed. It actually, because we get a lot more Hector and he's just an interesting character, and it did make it start happening where, like, he became the Poochie of, like, when he's not in the comic, you're like, where's Hector? When is Hector going to get here?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
anytime it's not Hector, it's usually Ari moping or Ari and his friends. And when his friends show up, it's the opposite of that, where you're like, when are his friends going to leave? These guys suck. Yeah,
100%. Man, you know what I want? A story about a bunch of people who are assholes.
Yeah, I mean, we've read a few of those, right?
Well, yeah.
And they are our favorite comics, right, guys?
Yeah, 100%. The darker and grittier, the better.
Oh, yeah. It's the only way to go. But yeah, this this section really, like, this is where it really hooks you, I think, because before Hector is really much of a character, it's a little more meandering, but this is where all those little threads that it was setting up in that first part just get pulled together really fast, I think. So you're not waiting around too long for the plot to really get rolling, which I appreciated. Because, like I said, it's a single volume. So, like, even though it's a pretty decent size volume, you don't have a lot of room to just be, you know, farting around with his band. And I think that's why they don't really go into it too much. They kind of skip to the outside of the band parts. Like, we don't get an entire montage of his band's songs like in Scott Pilgrim or anything.
This is the thing, is it's like the band is very ancillary to like the actual story. Like, we don't care about
right.
No offense to the band, not to be the dad or anything, but like,
I have a feeling their band actually sucks is why his dad is like, yeah, whatever, he's just trying to be nice about
that's true, because as far as we're aware, they've never played a gig.
Right. And it's like, there's open mics and stuff. You got to get out there, man.
Yeah, exactly. You got to move to the city so that you can just blow up in like 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. But what did you think of part two?
I really loved it, but that's because
Hector was in it.
I mean, essentially, yeah. Like, basically, I was thirsty for more Hector, but I was also thirsty for like their relationship kind of thing. And I think their kind of, you know, slowly blossoming relationship is like, it's just kind of a given that it's going to happen. Like, it's not, you know, just because it's gay, it's not really, there's no big deal made about it. It's just right. Like, it just kind of starts happening. And, you know, he and Hector and everyone kind of around them just kind of roll with it, I guess, which is really nice.
That's never a factor.
No.
Like, in that no other characters are like, but he's a boy, or any, you know, there's none of, like, not even his parents, like Ari's parents and sister and everyone are just like totally aware.
But he's a good, you know, ghost.
I mean, that would be an interesting but very different story, I think, about a ghost who bakes and is hot.
And also, they're going to be in a relationship together. You know what? Honestly, I would read that.
Yeah, same.
A hot ghost who bakes, yeah. But no, I really enjoyed part two. It's very cute, and yeah, I like it.
All right, let's jump into part three, because it's a little bit longer of a section here. So part three opens with the 4th of July, which is the busiest time of year, because they're like a beach city. It actually reminded me a lot. Have you ever watched Steven Universe? I can't remember.
Have I watched Steven Universe? I think I've watched like an episode.
Oh, okay. Because they literally live in Beach City, and it's all, you know, like one of those touristy towns that is the same, you know, 20 people, except for when there's a big event and stuff like that. So it reminded me a lot of that, where it's like, we live in a generic beach town, so therefore most of the people are not here unless it's a holiday. So when it's
there are entire towns in New Zealand that are built around that entire principle.
Oh, yeah. Here, too. Which is funny because our beaches are, you know, not the typical sandy beach that people think of, unless you go a bit further south. But, you know, there's still a beach, so people get excited about it. So here it's July 4th, which, of course, big old party in the USA, as you're aware, because you've been here.
Gonna put my hands up. They're playing my song. It's a party in the USA.
Exactly. And so the bakery, because of all the tourism, is just humming. Like, there's people coming and going. They can barely keep up with orders. Yeah. Hector's churning out rolls and dough, and everything seems pretty good because they've kind of implied a few times. I can't remember if they've explicitly stated yet that I think they might have. The dad is always like, hey, things are really tight right now. So, yeah. Like, be careful with, you know, not wasting.
Like, small Greek bakery in a beach town? I am not surprised.
Right. Like, this is one of their big make or break days of the year, where it's like, if their July 4th is really good, then that can keep them floating for a while, is the impression that you get here.
100%.
After it's done, Hector takes some of the family sourdough starter with permission, and he and Ari head to dinner. And that's like a big deal because it's like a family thing that they've passed down, but Hector's been, you know, so accepted already by the family as, you know, basically just part of the family at this point, because he's been working there for a bit.
100%. Yeah.
That they're like, yeah, of course you can have some of that starter, which was really cool. Like, I was not really expecting the family to be so cool about that the first time I read it. And they're just like, yeah, no, that's cool. Take it.
Take some. Do it.
Because that's part of their big family, you know, sourdough recipe is the starter that's been passed down.
It's their famous.
It's famous. Sourdough. Yeah, that is actually the thing that they're famous for, which there's a recipe in the back of this for the famous sourdough rolls, by the way, because it wouldn't be an indie comic without a recipe being in it, right?
Oh, no, of course not. And I think it's also there's a playlist as well.
Yep, and a playlist. You got to have those. It's required.
Yeah.
So they, the Ari and Hector head to dinner. And because it's a very small beach town, they end up in the same diner that Hannah works at. And Hannah's his one friend that is less like the rest of them. Like, she actually seems pretty aware of when the other ones are being bad.
Hannah's like, this is bad. And Jake is sort of made uncomfortable by it. Lauren never really does anything. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really have like a character, which is fine because like she dates Cameron. So obviously like, you know, the two of them have to like just fly off into their happiness.
So it's a bit awkward because Hector, you know, he doesn't outright say that he overheard them, but he very heavily implies it. And he's like visibly uncomfortable when he sees any of Ari's friends. And she changes the subject pretty quickly and gets them to sit down. And when Hector's like clearly not happy, Ari's like, oh, it's fine. My friends are cool and they're just like that. Ha 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 ha. But Hector is more of an adult in every way because he's like, hey, listen, this is not cool. And yeah, this I like how he speaks up for himself when.
Oh, yeah. No, it's good.
Yeah. Like, people should not be, you know, your friends should not be treating your other friends this way or each other or anyone.
And, or anyone. In fact,
Cameron maybe is not a nice person.
I just, you know, wow. It's bold of you to make that judgment.
I know. but when Hannah returns with their drinks that I liked this scene where she's like, I can get you guys free sodas. And then she comes back and she's like, here you are, sirs, the sodas you paid for. And it's like being the most conspicuous person on the planet. I enjoyed scene quite a bit. But there's this cougar that's like an old family friend of Hector that has shown up before.
So weird.
It's and is like hitting on him and making him massively uncomfortable. And not getting the hints that he is uncomfortable. And she shows up at the restaurant. So Hector is like, hey, I need to leave like right now. So Hannah creates a distraction by basically just waving her arms and being like, hey, everyone, look at me. I'm a distraction.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated. I liked that scene quite a bit. So they run away together and it's very adorable. And they run up into the hills and they keep going because Ari's like, no, we're almost to this really cool spot. So they sit and watch the fireworks together and they kind of overlook the whole town. It's a very cute scene.
It's very adorable. Yeah. And I liked it a lot.
So the next day The family is making dough braids and other stuff for a local fair. And Ari's dad's giving him a hard time because he's being so slow. And he's like, I'm doing the hard part. I'm braiding these. You're just rolling them into little snakes like Play-Doh. So he's like, here's how you do it fast. Like his dad, I don't know if he's just being oblivious to what, you know, that he's distracted or if he actually thinks he's just being slow. I don't know. Sometimes his dad's a little hard to read as far as that stuff goes.
I think his dad is like the most deadest dad to ever dad. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he's giving him a hard time because like he loves his son and you know, also he is going slow.
That's fair.
He should go faster.
When the guy braiding the dough is catching up to the person that's just rolling them out. Yeah. You're going too slow. But then Hector arrives exactly. Who, you know, is a master baker. He's in college for it and everything.
Well, he is.
Yeah. He's able to make way faster progress. And then Ari's like, hey, why isn't mom helping? And his dad's like, hey, you know, the bakery isn't doing so good and she's trying to work on finances. So maybe lay off your mom who has been working tirelessly for how many years to raise you spoiled children. But no, he's much nicer about it than that.
He's like, hey, Ari, why don't you shut the fuck up and roll some bloody dough? All right.
Yeah. But when he heads off to break, his dad's like, you know, Ari, you're a good kid. So I'm like, OK, his dad loves him.
Yeah.
It's very cute. They have a good relationship, even though they don't.
Yeah, I do like that their relationship is like his dad gives him a hard time, but like they're not like really antagonistic towards each other.
Yes, I appreciate that.
And they do
that.
Still like love and like each other. It's nice.
Yeah, he just gives him a hard time because he's like he can tell when he's slacking, and that's when he gives him a hard time.
Yeah. 100%.
Hector and Ari spend the rest of the day baking together, and it's another incredibly cute sequence of them baking. At the end of the day, everything's baked and they're ready for the fair. Ari checks his phone and realizes he forgot to go look at apartments with his friends. But this time he doesn't actually care that much because, you know, he spent the day at the bakery with Hector. So he was busy doing something probably much more enjoyable than his obnoxious friends, like commuting all the way to the city and back. And
yeah, because I think, it's Cameron that texts him. He's like, go to check out places in the city today. You want to come? And it's like, oh, man, do I spend the day making sweet treats in a bakery with a hot boy, or do I hang out with a bunch of douches?
Or do I have Cameron constantly making fun of me all day?
Yeah, it's like, wow, what a conundrum.
Yeah, it's like Sophie's Choice over here.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So the next morning they go to the fair, but they have to get up at like 4 a.m. Hector, and this is the thing where I'm like, oh, baking, that always seems so fun. And then I'm like, oh, right. Professional bakers have to get up in the middle of the night to do that job. So that's a thing. So weirdly, I respect the hell out of bakers.
Oh, yeah. Weirdly, people want baked goods like in the morning, which
I know. What's up with that?
Yeah, I know. What's up with that? What is up with that?
They're delicious. So, so there's that factor. So after almost crashing the van, driving in the, you know, super early morning after having been up late all night, they make it to the fair.
So there they set up their stall and Ari meets a friend of Hector's, Chad. After overhearing their conversation, Ari learns that Hector is most definitely single. And there's a cute little montage again, where the stall is very successful during the fair and they sell a lot of breads and one would assume dough rolls, dough ties rather. And afterwards, Jake, Hannah, Cameron, and Lauren show up. Cameron, rather offhandedly, mentions that he and Lauren are looking for their own place, and Ari realizes that his friends have kind of moved on without him. And Ari restates once again that the bakery is just temporary, which, you know, if there's anything worse than lying to another person, it is lying to yourself.
Yeah. Like his friends are very not convinced anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that.
So, which fair, you know, it's like they've clearly, like, it comes up later too, where when he's like, why are all these changes happening? And they're like, you know, this has been going on for like months. You just haven't been around.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I kind of like the implication of, you know, people outside of the main characters in a story do have lives of their own.
Yeah, they're not just like hanging around waiting. Like, I wonder where Ari is.
Right.
I can't do anything unless he's here.
I don't exist unless Ari's in the room.
Yeah. As soon as Ari leaves the room, I just go into a fugue state.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, they all enjoy the carnival together as friends. And on the way home, Ari falls asleep in the passenger seat with Hector driving. It's very cute. Again, I can't overstate how cute it is.
That's fair.
Thank you. Later, Hector and Ari are baking together, and they have a cute little flower fight, and it's very adorable. After Ari's mother tells them to stop wasting ingredients, they make red velvet cupcakes together and take them to an open-air movie night. There, they meet up with Hannah and Jake, Ari's least douchey friends, and honestly, it's also pretty cute. Mm-hmm. That night, Hector and Ari leave having won their own cupcakes in a raffle.
Yeah, when they arrive,
it's so weird.
Like, why were they even entered?
I don't know. Oh yeah, he's eating one of the cupcakes, and then Hector's like, I still can't believe you won the raffle. 48 red velvet cupcakes from Curios Family Bakery. And he's like, what can I say? I'm a lucky guy. And it's like, what, you gave the cupcakes to the raffle. Yeah. Why would you enter in your own raffle?
Maybe he just was buying tickets and didn't expect to win. I don't know.
I don't know.
That kind of happened to me once on a fundraiser thing I was helping out with, and I won one of the top prizes and was like, yeah, I wasn't really thinking I was entered, but that's cool.
Yeah, we did an event at our second year of university, and to like raise money for the event, we sold raffle tickets for some gift baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And the two people who won the gift baskets were a friend of mine from university and my aunt.
So you're saying you fixed it? So that they
yeah, a lot of people did think that I had fixed it. Yes. So when they arrive back at the bakery with the 48 red velvet cupcakes, Irony is slicker than grease and says that he could go home, or they could just keep hanging out. Wink. So they head to the roof of Ari's house. And Ari says that he loves the stars because you can pretend that you're anywhere else. And then the comic starts to get deep. And Hector asks why he always wants to be somewhere else, considering that his life is so great. And Ari just says that he knows this isn't what he wants, but he has no idea what he does want or even how to be happy. Fucking mood, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Welcome to being a human being.
Uh-huh, yeah. This was I found this part very, very relatable. Where you're like, I want something different, but I don't want that. Right. I don't want that. I just want something, and I don't know what it is.
It also is nice to have that perspective of an outside character in Hector being like, you're always saying you don't want to be here, but you have an objectively good life.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you act like your life is so terrible, but it doesn't seem so bad to me. It's a beautiful town. You've got family, friends, and a good job. And Ari's just like, meh, and like sort of turns around. And
yeah.
Sort
of, has like a Ari grumpy is expression. Kind of a brat.
A little bit, yeah.
Like a bit. It's come up several times that he's a pretty bratty character, but like, not that he's not redeemable or anything like that. You know, people sometimes have that side to them. Like, yeah. he's still got that little kidness to him that Hector seems to have already outgrown, even though they're fairly close in age.
Yeah, it is interesting having that like outside perspective where it's like, your life is good. I don't know why you want to leave. And he's just like, well, I don't know either.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I can get that.
That's fair.
That's fair. So he then asks Hector why he and Andrew broke up. And Hector just laughs and says that Andrew wanted a repairman, not a partner. And after they fall asleep on the roof, Ari nearly falls off, and they laugh together.
Mm-hmm. And his parents think it's like a raccoon or something that was on the
roof. Yeah, it's like, raccoons do not laugh like people. What are you doing?
But they are, you know, pretty horrifying in person. I mean, they're cute, but also, I don't know, man. I feel like if they really needed to, they would take you down in a moment's notice. So it's those hands. That's what does it. That's what freaks me out.
The little raccoon hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They could so easily just hold a knife.
I mean, who says they're not holding one right now?
Oh my God.
They're right behind me, aren't they?
Ah!
But yeah, this
the raccoon came from inside the house.
Oh no. But yeah, this I did like how we get that Hector backstory a little bit here of his relationship with Andrew. And also it sheds a lot of light on that scene earlier where Andrew is just immediately like, let's start smooching. And he's like, whoa there, buddy. Like there, you had basically, it sounds like he came to him with all these issues, personal issues and baggage, and expected Hector to fix all those. And it's like, okay, well, it's not really what your partner is there for. Like, yes, they love and support you, but sounds like he was asking a bit too much of Hector.
Oh yes.
So,
yes.
So it kind of sets up a little bit too of like, okay, does that mean Ari is going to learn from this, or is he going to completely blow it? Because you could easily see Ari going that direction. Like, I have issues. Fix me.
But who knows? Who knows what he's going to do?
I mean, we do. We've read the whole comic.
Yeah, we know. But, like, but you know,
we're going to stop there this week. But do you have any more thoughts on part three before we call it?
It's good, and I like it. It's very cute. They're sort of like blossoming relationship. And I do enjoy, as you say, that like the other characters have lives outside of their interactions with him, like, which makes it feel very real. But yeah, I think my favorite part is them on the roof. And he says, you know I want something else, but I don't know what I want or even how to be happy. And I was like, yeah, I feel that.
Hashtag relatable.
Hashtag relatable. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think this is a really good, it's a little bit more than half of the book, I think, and it goes very quickly. And I definitely feel like this, at the end of part three, is the turning point of a lot of the character arcs as far as, like, you know, this is we've seen the status quo. Obviously, all of his friends are starting to move on. The ball is now in Ari's court. Like, is he going to move on and learn how to be happy or find what makes him happy? Or is he just going to be a mopey teen? Like, we will find out next time. But if people are wanting to read along and want to send any, you know, thoughts or comments or anything for next time, we do have an email address, inksandissues@gmail.com. Or, you know, people could tweet us at inksandissues. Oh, sorry, my cat is walking all over the desk as I'm trying to record. So she's knocking my headphones out of my ear and bumping into the microphone. So apologies if there's a loud purring sound in the background. That would be her. So Kieran, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at @MrK_Bennett. Or you can check out my D&D podcast. It's at @ForCNG Podcast on Twitter. Jonah, where can people find you on Twitter?
Well, you can, well, Twitter, you can find me at @AreelJonah. I'm sorry, my cat is pulling my headphones out of my head as as I'm talking. Oh no, don't step on the pad and break our recording, kitty. That would be bad. Yeah, and then, you know, the usual. We have a Twitter, Inks and Issues. But yeah, that's gonna do it for us this time. Next week we will finish up Bloom. So feel free to read along and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye. I love you.
And if you're wondering what this song is leading to, I want to make it with you.
Need more mutants, metahumans, or monsters in your life? Then check out these other Geekly Ink shows, including Cthulhu and Friends, Dear Internet, Greetings Adventures, Transformation Sequence, and many more fantastic podcasts. You can help us make the show the best it can be by supporting us over at patreon.com/inksandissues, where you can get bonus content, early access to episodes, and can even vote on comics for us to review. Don't forget to also leave us a 5-star rating and review to help us spread the word. Want to interact with us on Twitter? You can find us at @inksandissues or on Twitch at twitch.tv/inksandissues. Or you can find our wonderful editor, Justin, at @MRECOCK on Twitter. Now do yourself a favor and go read some gosh darn comics!